This is Roman and Rebecca. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, Jim.
Hey. All right. Well, let's start with the basics. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your group and what it is that you do?
We are a resource to paranormal investigators primarily, but also a resource to anybody who is dealing with attacks from the preternatural, or as some people refer to them, negative inhuman entities. People can contact us if they are not living in the Bay Area. We can assist them over the phone. Usually we can help them remove problems all the way up to demonic oppression if it's over the phone. If it's possession, we do have contacts with other individuals who can do house cleansings and exorcisms in other areas of the country. But if it's in the Bay Area, we can actually come to their location and assist them whatever they need, whether it be a house cleansing or an actual exorcism. We actually have consulting privileges with the Vatican's number one exorcist on the West Coast, Father Gary Thomas, who actually apparently they're going to be making a movie about a manuscript that he wrote called The Rite, and it's going to be coming out pretty soon. And I believe Anthony Hopkins is going to be playing that role of Father Thomas.
Wow.
Wow.
So you guys are connected pretty high up there.
Well, I wouldn't say we are. Thank you for saying that, though.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look. You guys tend to deal mainly more along, I hate the way they use this terminology, but you focus more on the negative side of the paranormal world, I guess.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, this is something I've been inundated with John Zaffis interviews over the past week. And would you say that you've noticed an increase in the trend of negative hauntings, say, in the past 5 years, as opposed to what was being reported before?
Definitely. Most definitely. I'd say that, the level of negative hauntings hasn't been this high since the late 60s, early 70s, when, all of us were, too young to even have any real knowledge of it. But regardless, I've read and researched a lot about that time frame. And, because of a lot of things that were happening culturally, it caused a massive surge in people having paranormal problems. Popularity of the Ouija board, Hasbro was, of course, starting to sell it in stores, and the popularity of, getting involved in various forms of magic, because a lot of people were dabbling with that. And, now, even though there's a slightly different paradigm that's causing it, it's more so, there's a lot of people that are obviously getting interested in the paranormal, and, that is, it's an incredibly interesting topic, and for a good reason people are getting interested in it. However, a lot of people are going about that interest in ways that are not necessarily safe for themselves, because it's like anything that becomes popular, people just rush out and buy things that they think will allow them to do that. Like rather than going and taking lessons in snowboarding, they just go and grab the snowboard and try to go down the K2. That's kind of one of the things that we're running into as far as where people are coming across negative entities and having problems.
Wow, you just summed up about 10 of my theories right there. That's awesome. Now, do you really think that it's more of a, like, the law of attraction and recognition really starting to kick in because of the shows like Ghost Hunters and Paranormal State, where people are, they're seeing this on TV, and they hear a bump, and it's a pipe, and they go, oh my God, there's a demon in my house. and because of that, something sees a doorway to pop in, because it saw fear.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I know that it is partially that. A lot of the people that I've talked to, it started out that way. But on the flip side of that, I also think that because of events in the world itself, where things are going, there's a large amount of uncertainty in the world because of the economic crisis. There's a lot of things that are kind of coming to a head. The levels of energy in regards to, you know, we're having all kinds of earthquakes. We're having all kinds of natural events that are terrifying people. That's creating a very large amount of negative energy. Well, these entities, as we know, feed off of negative energy. And the more that there is, the stronger they get. So they're starting to come into the lives of people that aren't even necessarily looking for them. Though, when people do start to look for them, they will absolutely find them. So, you know, we've got two situations actually going on there that's kind of causing a really strong surge in those kind of events.
We have another caller. Congratulations. You guys are the first one to have somebody else call in to ask a question.
Okay.
We're gonna bring him online.
Hi, welcome to MGHS Radio.
Is this for me?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Dave. I'm from Paranormal Team of Orlando. How you doing, Roman?
Dave, good. How are you?
Been busy. lots of stuff going on and with the family and stuff too, but my grandmother's not doing too well. She was in a bad accident with her power chair, and she's in the hospital and not doing too good. But
so
if anybody
can
send positive energy her way, you know, that'd be greatly appreciated. That being said, without sharing, you know, the personal information side of it, the case that we had discussed. I was wondering if you could maybe touch on that a little bit with anybody and kind of like fill me in a little bit too and how things are going with it. And as they were saying, they're there. I'm a paranormal investigator. I've got my own team. And I've called and spoken with Roman on some help on a case. And he was really great in helping us out. So I highly recommend these guys to anybody listening. And that being said, what can you share with everybody about what's going on with him?
Sure, and thanks for calling, Dave. It's good to hear from you. Yeah, you know, he's doing better. He's been implementing, you know, he lives on the other side of the country. We had assessed that he was dealing with demonic oppression rather than a form of possession. And he has been implementing the things, the various techniques that I talk about on our website under how to protect yourself. So if you go to spectralintelligencesolutions.com and click on the link, how to protect yourself, you know, utilizing the divine name as well as holy water and specific prayers of protection, which we also have on our website. He's been able to clear a lot of the issues that he was dealing with out of his direct area where he's living, out of his house. His family is feeling much happier now. You know, he has some other concerns that he's dealing with me on a moderately daily basis with regarding some things in his past. I'm trying to help him through some areas of counseling, but he's doing very well.
That's great, and that's something that, you know, I just want to stress with everybody else too. We're not all experts in every different field, so if you come across a situation like this where, you know, there was the possibility of being demonic and stuff, that's not something that I felt comfortable with, you know, going into. I'm not an expert on it, so again, when it relates to something like that, don't get into it. Get a professional, and that's what they specialize in. So, you know, call them up and get their advice, and, you know, so, you've been a great help to him, and, you know, so I'm glad that I was able to speak with you on that, and, you know, I'm glad to hear things are going well. So I appreciate that very much.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, and I look forward to dealing with other things in the future with you. And, you know, definitely thanks for calling in.
Great.
You know, I think they brought up a really, really good point. A lot of groups, they form and they say, oh, we're gonna go investigate a haunted house. And they don't really have the backgrounds to deal with in case they run into something that's not a human spirit. So I think having a group like you guys around is fantastic for that. When somebody can't really, they get their heads. Yeah. Okay. You touched on something that I was going to get into a little bit later, but why not bring it up now? Can you explain the difference between obsession, oppression, and possession when it comes to the demonic?
Okay. Well, basically, there's actually just one slight variation on that. There's three different levels of demonic attack. You have infestation, oppression, and possession. If a person has obsession, then we got a problem.
Yeah, I think that goes along the lines of the infestation.
Yes, exactly. So essentially, infestation is obviously stage one. Usually, demons don't work alone. They work in pairs or in groups. Demons by themselves, if we were to compare them to a diabolical, which is the term that is usually referred to a fallen angel, they're like night and day. A demon, you know, is nowhere near as powerful as a diabolical. Diabolicals have been found to be the ones that actually direct the demons. They have their own spirit body. They do not need to possess someone. They don't possess people. They influence people. But demons are disembodied bodied spirits. You know, there's a lot of different theories. Where do they come from? I'm going to be posting a new article called The Biblical View of Ghosts or Ghosts in the Bible, which is going to actually talk about that and address the possible, you know, the actual areas of the Bible where it talks about ghosts, but also, you know, what a demon most likely is. But back to the thing about infestation, you know, they will direct multiple demons to begin to cause a person to start to notice them. You know, like when you have a rat problem in your house, you'll start noticing it by seeing droppings left around and then things chewed up in the corner, and you'll start hearing noises in the wall. And it's very, very similar. It's to get the person's attention, to cause them, actually, like you said, start having a obsession with it. You know, they get the attention, the person starts focusing on it, and they start putting more and more energy into it. And they have an ability which is a natural ability that they can utilize on humans, which causes terror. And usually I refer to it as just the terror. When you feel the terror, it usually is like the feeling of being a little mouse surrounded by a pack of wolves. You don't know where it's coming from, but all of a sudden you feel like your world's about to end. And when they cause you to feel that way, that's also a time frame that they're actually feeding off of your negative energy. From there, you know, you move into the oppression part of it. Now they've got your attention. You are, you know, focused solely on what's going on with them. Now they can actually start to insert themselves into every aspect of your life. This is the time frame that a person will start to hear voices, possibly start having terrifying nightmares, and start getting touched, pushed, scratched. Members of their family will start seeing it and feeling it. They'll start having electronic phenomena around the house, maybe hearing strange EVP-like voices on their cell phone calls that sound partially like, you know, the usual static. It would probably be like a Class 2 sounding EVP. You'll hear strange laughing, things of that nature. Anything to keep you focused on them 24/7. In this time frame, they break you down. You know, you stop sleeping, you stop eating properly, your mental, emotional, physical, and psychological health goes down the tubes. And it takes a different amount of time. For some people, it could take 6 months to a year to get through this point where they're ready to start to possess. But ordinarily, depending upon the strength of the personality, it may take a while to wear a person down, but they've got all the time in the world. So, you know, that's what goes against us in dealing with that. So when a person is at the stage of oppression, we really need to get to them quickly before they get broken down to the point where the entity can start to possess them.
Okay. Well, let's say somebody is in just the infestation point of a possession, of a haunting. And they call you up. What do you find to be the most effective cleansing process for the house?
To start with, you know, demonic entities can't, you know, be in the presence of holy water. The easiest, quickest way would be to go through the house with a house blessing using blessed anointing oil on the doorposts, spraying holy water through the rooms, and using very specifically worded prayers of protection. You know, these prayers are worded in such a way that if there's ever anything that the person had done in their life or even that their family had done that caused these entities to have some kind of a hold or a covenant with them or over them, it breaks that, and that's very important. And then after that point would be to put up the barriers to keep the entities out of the house, which is why we use the Tetragrammaton, which is the divine name of God in the Old Testament of the Bible. It's in Hebrew. Tetragrammaton is Greek for a word of four letters. And the Tetragrammaton is four letters in Hebrew. It's Yod Heh Vav Heh, pronounced by people, various people, as Yahweh, Yehovah, or Jehovah. And, you know, but the closest to what most people think it was originally pronounced was Yehovah, because there is no J sound in Hebrew. When the Tetragrammaton is placed up on the four walls of a room and the ceiling and the floor, the entities cannot move through it. It is literally like an electric fence or, you know, or a shield of acid. It would cause them extreme pain to even approach near it. And it's been proven to be extremely effective in keeping them out. But, of course, you know, you have to go through the house first, you know, having it blessed and cleansed from the inside to get them out, so then you can put up the barrier to keep them out.
And that's wonderful, Roman. And we'll come back to the protection techniques in a moment. I do have a question for you pertaining actually to a case that we had. Have you guys ever experienced, in your time, we had one homeowner, we did several investigations of the home, and it was a little controversial on our team as far as whether or not there was demonic activity. Something she was experiencing, knocks of three, sulfuric acid-like smells. Her bed was shaking, like something was shaking her bed while she was lying in it. We got some pretty horrifying EVP evidence as well from there, and we were wondering possibly if it was demonic. Now, the thing about it is that what she was experiencing would have been horrifying and terrifying to the average client that we have, but she seemed to really like it. One thing that she voiced to us was she liked to play with it. For example, toys with no batteries would, you know, turn on by themselves, and she would actually take these toys or pieces of electronics and, you know, sit on the floor and dare it to turn it on. She would talk to them all the time, and, you know, we voiced our concerns to her. She did not want any further assistance or any help, but we did find it extremely odd that she enjoyed playing with these things. She played hide and seek with some of the items too. She would, you know, ask it to move it or hide it somewhere. She was very interactive with this entity. Have you guys ever experienced anything like that? And if so, what would you recommend?
Well, I mean, when I was younger, I had certain things like I would feel stuff touching me when I was trying to go to sleep. But, I mean, I was curious about stuff like that when I was younger, and I think that's what made it worse. And what I'm curious about is, did she call you guys for help, but then she turns around and she's, like, morbidly curious about them?
Yes, exactly. Actually, it was a referral from one of her family friends. Apparently, she had seen a full-bodied apparition of a man walking the hallways of her house. She confided in one of her friends, you know, all of these things that were happening. From the beginning, we heard that she was extremely scared. She was, you know, it freaked her out. None of her friends would go over to her home. She basically, honestly, became a recluse in her home. But after we investigated, you know, she was kind of morbidly curious, I guess, about the entire thing. After we, you know, showed her the evidence and everything, she just loved it. She wanted to continue playing with it. And actually, after our last investigation, the shaking of her bed stopped. And she actually seemed a little annoyed with us because she thought we made it go away. I mean, she loved the attention from it.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people, especially what I've noticed is a lot of females are into that kind of attention because it's exciting. It's like an adrenaline rush. So it becomes addictive, almost like a drug in a sense. And that makes it worse.
That would make sense. Also, the history of the home had extensive Ouija board activity. A coven actually practiced there for, I think, about 20 years, doing seances and Ouija board sessions.
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
You know, obviously, what you guys had come across was a situation of a demonic infestation and possibly oppression, though. If a person actually is inviting it and enjoying it, it's hard to say if they're being actually oppressed.
Exactly.
But, you know, when you've got 20 years of coven activity and Ouija board, ghosts don't usually leave a smell for you to pick up of, say, sulfuric acid or any form of sulfur.
Right.
You know, ordinarily, a ghost is going to leave smells of...
Like perfume or tobacco or
yeah.
cooking or...
Exactly.
You know.
Something from the time frame they were alive. And they, you know, as we all know, ghosts don't have a large amount of energy to do things, to power up items. It's very hard for them. They usually just don't have very much energy. You know, it usually is the most energy they can muster up is enough to move a K2 meter and make an EVP, you know, and every once in a while move a chair a little bit, but shaking a bed so much that it's really, really obvious, especially when a person is wide awake, taking full-size items and moving them all around the house like toys, that's a rough one. A lot of ghosts don't actually resort to that, but, you know, one of the things that I've found countless times are, you know, and this is the more even darker side of this whole subject are people who actually start to have relationships with these entities to the extent where they are participating in sexual activity with them. And they will tell you about it and even ask for your advice on it, but they don't want it to stop. And I've come across some women that have been having sexual encounters with, you know, I guess, you know, in an ancient way you call, like, with an incubus,